Glory to God. You know, we're soldiers of the kingdom. Amen. We are in an army, and it's a real war. There's a real war going on in the heavenlies over you. If you're already saved, the devil's working. If people aren't saved, what does he do first? He tries to keep them from being saved, right? Now that you are born again and you're seeking heaven, what does he do? He tries to neutralize us and bring us to a place where we are ineffective for him. Amen? So we need to remember that we're on, you know, we're in a war and we're on the attack. We can win. We're winners. It's a war that's been won, and I know Jesus gave us all authority. But how many know it doesn't just fall on us? We still have to possess the land. Just like the Israelites, when they crossed over the River Jordan to what? They still had to drive out the giants. There were giants in that land. Amen. So we want to remember that even though God has given us things, we have to cooperate with him. It doesn't just fall on us. We have to cooperate with him. We have to what? Use our faith and believe him. We have to take him at his word and say, Lord, I believe. This is what you said. Amen. And then we have to exercise that faith, because what does the enemy come for? What is he coming for in your life? He comes for the word of God, the truth that sets people free. You know, that's why he gives so many people, you know, the lie, right? He gives them lies. If they get saved, then he tells them lies. Well, you're saved, but that's as far as you can go. You know, he tells some, you don't need that Holy Ghost business. What's the Holy Spirit? What do you mean? Be filled with the Spirit. And people tell lies. He tells lies, usually. You know, usually people that are just sheep or that are going to church, a lot of times they don't do enough to get themselves in lines, but they hear lies and they just accept it. Now, there is the exception. Some actually read their Bible, hallelujah, and they read the verses that the pastor skipped over and they find out, hallelujah, the truth, right? We find out the truth when we read the context, right? You know, well, for time's sake, we'll just skip over these few verses about the Holy Spirit. But I found out there is a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I asked him to fill me. And then later, I got tongues. I didn't know I could pray in tongues right away, or I probably would have. Hallelujah. How many know it's important to be filled with the Spirit, to begin to spend some time praying in other tongues, and let the Holy Spirit become your teacher and start growing up. Oh boy, that's good preaching, Pastor Doug. Maybe more than 5 minutes, but start spending at least, you know, start increasing your time. Spend enough time so that you're satisfied. Say, well, I don't know how much I should spend. Well, you, down in your heart, you know. Down in your heart, God's speaking to you. You know whether it's a, you know, if you've been in this walk a while, it should be at least a couple, 2-3 hours a day praying and seeking God. Even if some of it's when you're driving or working or whatever. But set it down. Begin to write it down. Start keeping track, because sometimes we get in this move. How many know that we can trick ourselves? You know, the enemy doesn't necessarily trick us, but we get to thinking, well, I know I was praying quite a bit today, you know, and we get to thinking it was longer than what it really was. But when we take an inventory every once in a while, how many know we should take inventory of our life? Well, praise the Lord. It's going over well anyway. So, so far so good, right? When we take inventory, I mean, you know what happens when you take inventory? You find out how much product, you know, like if a store takes inventory, right? They want to find out how much product they have, how much is sold, and what's left. And hopefully nobody stole anything, right? They are, you know, or maybe you used some for the store, you know. Well, we used some, different products, and you know, you write that down. Why? Because you want to make sure you have the right inventory, the right products, enough of them, exactly what is needed, and that you're not losing money, but you're gaining, right? And so when we take inventory of our life, what are we looking for? What are we looking for on the inside? Are we allowing God's grace to work in us? See, it's the grace of God. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 2. And I know it doesn't use the word grace, but hallelujah. Verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, we've been talking about the grace of God, and wouldn't that be the grace of God if it's God working in you? Amen. He works in us. But how many know we have to allow him to work? See, when we take inventory of our life, we're saying, Lord, how am I doing? Am I truly, you know, doing what you want me to do? Am I truly doing what's necessary for me to mature in my relationship with you, God? When we're talking about our relationship with God, am I truly maturing, or am I the same as I was last year, this time? Have I increased at all? Have I understood more of what God wants me to do? Have I been really seeking Him? Have I been praying? And if we have, then we'll begin to realize, yes, I'm being strengthened. I see myself. I can see that I'm stronger than I was last year. Now see, if somebody starts working out with weights, you know, and they stayed skinny like Joseph. No offense, brother. But I mean, you know, if they just stayed real skinny, right? Their arms are thin, and you'd say, you know, and they said, oh yeah, I bought that gym membership. You did. Well, have you been going? You know, and we don't see them getting any stronger. They just seem to be the same, right? We would realize, hey, maybe they're not going to the, are you going to the gym? No, I bought that membership. I just pass by it every day. I go by there every single day, and I don't understand. I'm not getting stronger. Every once in a while, I even go inside. Do you ever lift any weights? Well, no. I haven't lifted any weights. I haven't done anything that have you followed any of their little programs they have there? They've got a little, you know, idea of what you should start with and where, what you should do. And, you know, they want you to do certain machines. Well, I did that once. Maybe twice, you know, this year. Well, and I just don't, you know, and they would say, well, I don't get it. I joined the gym and I've been there a year now, and I drive by all the time, and every once in a while I stop in, and twice a year I lift some weights, and I'm just not getting any stronger. Well, that's not going to work, is it? You say, well, why? Because they're not consistent in doing what is necessary to develop. And until we really realize it is God that works in us, but we've got to also work with Him. There's two sides with God all the time. There's God's side, what He said and what He promised. And there's our side of yielding to what He has and receiving by faith what He has promised and doing some things. Amen. And one of the things that we do, and I know I'm harping on it tonight, but we spend time praying in other tongues. Now, do you realize when we're praying in tongues, what's actually happening? What is taking place when you and I pray in tongues? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14 for a minute. Hallelujah. If I don't preach long tonight, is that okay? Who give me 5 minutes? All right, good. I know, Joan, she said, no, I want to go home to bed on time. So, but anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, 14. And verse 14. And Paul said this, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, or praying in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Or we could say what? Our mind, right? We're not thinking, it's, we don't understand what we're saying, but we're praying a supernatural language that came from heaven. Now see, we have to understand something. He said, was it then, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. But if I begin to pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, Paul said, my spirit is praying. We would say our spirit is praying by the power or the unction of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And what actually is taking place, if we really think about it, we've got to think about this now. See, before the foundation of the world, God knows. Does God know a plan? Did God set a plan out for your life already? Amen. Did he know before you were ever born that you would be born? Is he all knowing? Yes, he is. And he knew you would be born. He knew where you would be today. And it is mind-boggling to think, but God set a plan for every human in the earth. Number one, he wanted them to be born again. Now, some haven't got there yet, but you have. You and I, we have. How many are glad? Amen. You've got the first step, right? And he wanted you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many got the second step? You can pray in tongues. You know you're filled. I can pray in tongues. I can pray, Paul said. But see, when we are beginning to pray in tongues, what's happening, there's a divine exchange that takes place. We allow the Holy Spirit to bring to our spirit the very perfect mind of God and pray through us. So we actually do the praying, but there's a divine exchange that takes place in our spirit. He brings those words to our spirit. We're talking about the third person of the Godhead, God Almighty, the one that already knows God's purpose and plan for your life. And he's saying, will you let me pray for you? Will you open your mouth and allow me to utter God's perfect will for you? Many times we say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do yet, but yet we're not spending much time praying in other tongues. The more that we do, the more of the mind and the plan of God shall be revealed to us. Because we're spending time with the Holy Spirit. We're letting the Holy Spirit pray through us to God the Father in Jesus. And I would say that is a God sandwich, and that is a prayer that shall be answered. Amen. It's not a prayer that's not going to be answered. It's a perfect prayer. We can't mess it up. All we have to do is be willing to let him and give him the authority to pray that prayer through us. Now, what God told me when I first started really praying in tongues, I was already praying in tongues, but I was deciding to spend some more time praying in tongues. Hallelujah. And to really understand this is a message and this is a way in which the Holy Spirit will take hold together with me to bring to pass everything that God has called me to be, everything that he is in me, everything he is to me, and everything that he wants to do through my life. He wants to bring that to pass. Now, this is a supernatural language. from a supernatural God. The Holy Spirit himself, which resides on the inside of you, he said, I will be with you, what, forever. And I am willing to pray for you. What the Holy Spirit told me, he says, when you pray in tongues, son, you are giving your life to me. In other words, I was giving God, the Holy Spirit, permission, not permission, but authority, really, the authority to pray for me to bring about God's plan for my life. And that's where it begins. And when we consistently do that, we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. With him, with the third person of the Godhead. A lot of times we talk about Jesus and we need to. The Holy Spirit will take what's from him. He says, I'll show it to you. I will show you Jesus. I will show you who he is like. I will begin to teach you. And a lot of times it doesn't always come in words, but it comes in understandings, right? We begin to understand the Word of God better. We begin to understand who Jesus was and is in our life. We begin to understand, oh, I have to use my faith. I have to believe that he made me righteous, that I have a right to come before the throne of the Father, and I can choose to stand upon his word, and I can choose to spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit begin to what? Edify my life. Build me up, in other words. Strengthen me so that I am not defeated. So that I can walk in victory. So that everything that's not of God will begin to be pushed out of my life. And the plan of God can begin to come forward more and more and more. You said, well, sometimes people have asked, well, why are you where you are because of the prayers that you prayed yesterday? It's because of the faith that we operated in and the words that we spoke and the truth that we received from heaven and the faith that we put in what God has said and also the prayers that we prayed in the Spirit, bringing forth the mind of God to come forward. Now, some things will happen automatically, but there's a lot of things that he begins to bring to you and bring understanding to you, and we begin to learn how to walk with God. We begin to know him. And it becomes a love relationship with him. Now see, a lot of times people pray in tongues for a little while. But when we begin to be consistent, and we're praying at least, well, at the beginning, a lot of times, I just wanted to pray an hour. That's how I started out. Because that's what Pastor Dave would say, pray an hour. And I was putting my hour. I would give that time, you know, whatever that time is, the Lord's. That hour, and many times I was probably Joseph's size or a little smaller maybe, and I would actually get in my little closet, and I mean, I went to prayer. I didn't know any other way. I just got down on my knees, closed my eyes, got in that closet. There I was. I was giving it my all. I really was. And not that you have to pray loud or anything. I wasn't always praying super loud. But every day I'd just get in there. I don't know why I got in the closet. I just felt like I had to. You know, because that's what the Bible said. You know, I'm trying to be scriptural. Now, you don't have to necessarily go into your closet. You may have a room or a chair or a place or, you know, it's where we can shut out the world, right? And bring our focus on him. That's really our closet. Amen? And it can be anywhere we are as we learn to what listen. I'm just really realizing we're moving into some things. I believe there's going to be some changes soon. Amen. I believe some things are coming pretty soon. Maybe in the next couple of months, there'll be some changes, some things happening. And we've got to be sensitive to what? The Holy Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to where he wants us and what he has us doing. And sometimes he brings what? Little things. Amen. Well, we could look back there in Philippians right after he said, I work in you. And then what did he say? We're not to what? Grumble and complain. Anybody ever do things grumbling or complaining? Amen. Right there in Philippians 2, where we were, verse 14, it says, do all things without murmuring and without murmurings and disputings, or grumble or complain, right? We're not disputing with one another over things. We're not trying to cause problem, but we're doing it unto what? The Lord. You know, how many know you can get the, I've mentioned that here sometimes, if we're not careful, we get our mind thinking on the wrong thing. We can get the wrong attitude, can't we? Even when we're doing something for the Lord. Oh, I'm doing that for Jesus. Well, that's good. But how many know sometimes, if we're not careful, it doesn't take a lot. You know, you can say, well, yeah. Oh, I got to get this done. I'm doing this, you know, and we don't really, you know, really we don't want to do it. You know, in our flesh. Our flesh wants to go home and take a nap. And I'm not saying there's not times that we shouldn't do that anyway. But sometimes it's because of an attitude that we take on. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I remember I was asking God, I said, what's wrong with me today? He said, you need an attitude adjustment. I said, I mean, just like I'm talking to you, just like that. I'm not saying I heard a voice. I'm not saying I heard words, but that's exactly what I heard, and I knew it, just like that. Down in my knower, oh, and immediately, you know, it doesn't take very long. You just adjust your attitude. Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry, Lord. Thank you. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. I need his help because I need to be sensitive to where he is leading and what does he want. I mean, we're coming up in the last days, folks. And I believe there's some things going to be changing. You know, everybody thinks that, oh, well, yeah, there's going to be great revival. Yes, there is. But there also may be great persecution. It may make a difference. I'm not saying we're going to come there, but you never know. We might have to someday have church in the basement or somebody's house or somewhere else. Now, we're believing God we won't have to, that Canada will remain free, but there's some places they have to do that. In China, they're in secret. I remember, matter of fact, I got a very good friend of mine, and they were there, and they were sure the authorities were coming. And he and another guy that had come there to minister, they had to get out in the weeds and start making their way out before everybody was, you know, people were making their way out. They're hiding out. They're leaving the house because they got word, and the authorities did come. They could have very well been arrested or beaten, possibly killed. And we don't think about those things too much here. Yet, we'll have a bad attitude. Not necessarily a bad attitude, but our attitude might not be all that God wants it to be. You know, we think, well, I go to church, you know, and we're half-hearted. We're not really pouring ourselves into who God is. Did we come to worship, or did we come to just sing songs? See, there's a difference. What was my attitude? What was my heart's attitude toward God? I have to change. Lord, okay, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm not just going to say, it's good, I know we're singing songs. But it's not just singing a song, it's worshiping, amen? And so here we're seeing that in Corinthians, he's saying here, this is a supernatural prayer that's taking place through you and I. And we have the ability to let God pray for us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. It's not an angel. It's not something, you know, it's not just us. But he is creating that prayer. And we are allowing him to pray it back to the Father. We're praying it, but he places it in our spirit, and we pray it back to the Father, knowing what? that we're praying the very mind of God for our life. Of course, we know that, Romans chapter 8. Let's read it. It's good to look at it again. I know you've read it. I know we have it memorized. One of our favorite verses, right? Well, let's look at it. I know we have verse 26, but let's look at 27. It says, "And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit." Oh, hallelujah. See, there's a grace in God. It's God working in us. It is the grace of God that he has a mind. He's got a plan for you and I. He knows that plan. The Holy Spirit was with God when they wrote down your name, right? I can't look in the Bible and find the book of Douglas, but the Holy Spirit knows the book of Douglas. He knows it now. He knows it for tomorrow. He knows it for the future. And he knows how to pray it out for me in advance. See, we're here, the mind of this, he knows the mind of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God. How many want the will of God? You say, well, I want the will of God in my life. Well, I have an ironclad guarantee that you can pray the very perfect will of God for your life. It'll never fail. It'll never not be the will of God. It'll always be perfect. The very perfect will of God for your life. And it's called praying in other tongues. Just opening our mouth, letting the Holy Spirit create those words. Now, we don't have to pray. You know, it doesn't have to be loud enough for anybody to hear. There are many times I'm there just praying in the Spirit. Nobody knows I'm praying in tongues except me and God. I'm not talking to them anyway, right? I'm talking to God. And I'm letting the Holy Spirit bring that language, God's perfect plan, to pray through me to the Father and the Son. Really, I'm letting the Holy Spirit pray for me. And he's making intercession according to the will of God for me. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." Now, do we know that? If we're not praying in other tongues. See, he gave us a prayer. In context, what is he saying? If you'll spend time praying in other tongues, then you can be assured that all things will work to your good. Now, sometimes we use that verse anyway, and, you know, I'm not trying to say it couldn't be used that way, but in context, that's what he's saying. Because we're praying in tongues, we know that he's praying the will of God, and we know that all things begin to work together for good to those that love God, to them who are called, what, according to his purpose. Then he says this, he said, "For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to something." Now, we've talked about this before. The image of his Son. Have you ever heard that before? The image of his Son. See, we know that you and I were created what? In the beginning, created in the image of God. And God's desire is that we be conformed right here to the image of his Son. And we also see that, of course, in Romans 12, but that he might be what, the firstborn of many brethren. And he has already predestined. It just means predetermined. He had the foreknowledge. It's not a bad word. But sometimes people get all, you know, that word has caused a lot of debates in the church. Different people, oh, well, God already knows. Yeah, he knows everything in his foreknowledge. But if we will allow him, see, it doesn't just happen automatically. We have to yield to God. You know, if it was going to happen automatically, how come the people that haven't got saved yet aren't saved yet? How'd you get saved? You believed what you heard, right? You confessed with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You were born again. And so here he's saying that we're already. So as we're praying in tongues, we're going to know, yeah, we're going to begin to know the will of God. Things are going to start working for our good. But we're also going to begin to be conformed to the very image of Jesus. There's a conformity that God desires. In other words, he said back in the 14th verse of the same chapter, they that are led, what, by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's two words there in the Greek for the son, for the sons of God. There's technon, which means the little son. And then there's weos, which is the more matured son of God. And this, that's the word he really uses. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the weos, or the sons, the mature sons of God. One's, I don't know if that's how you say it exactly, brother. He's the Greek scholar. I don't know if I said that word exactly right, but that's what it is in the Greek. He's talking about two different kinds of sons. Little boys, children. Now, we should be as a little child, he said, will not enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Totally teachable. Totally open. We're being honest with God. We're letting him teach us and train us and come in. And in that way, yes, we should be. But he doesn't want to leave us just little babies in the spiritual realm. He wants us to grow up and be conformed to that image. And one way that takes place is when we spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said, I will begin to bring to you the things that I hear from the Father. The things from Jesus, I'm going to make them known to you. He talks about who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit begins to make them alive on the inside of us. So that when we see the Word of God, when we see who Christ is, it becomes real on the inside of us. And he witnesses to us the truth of who Jesus is. Says the Spirit himself, right? Bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That means we're not left alone. We are not orphans. We have a Father that loves us. We have a Spirit that lives on the inside of us. A Holy Spirit who made his home in us and begins to empower more and more as we pray in the Holy Ghost, that nature that God gave us, that reborn spirit begins to grow. Excuse me. Begins to grow. It begins to mature. It begins to be changed and conformed to the same image of his son. Who's Jesus' son? Jesus, right? To the image of his son. In other words, God didn't want just one son going around. He wanted many sons. Why? Jesus said, it was expedient that I go away. It's very important. It's necessary. I must leave the earth so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will come and abide with you forever. And he will guide you into all truth. The reason he had to leave is because God desired more sons. And what? That also means he has more workers for the kingdom, because we become like him. And John said that Jesus was there. He says, I give life to whom I will. I bring life to them. Why? How did he do it? By preaching the truth. Now you, what has come on the inside of you, now that you've become a son, now that your spirit was made light, now you can bring life to others. Amen. How many know you can bring the truth to them? Now, it doesn't mean everyone's been born again, But if we start walking more and more with the Holy Spirit, then there's going to be more and more demonstration of His power. But we're going to have to learn to walk with Him. We're going to have to learn to yield to Him. We have to listen to Him on the inside. We have to allow Him to conform us, what? To the very image of Jesus. Everybody said, well, I thought the gifts were for the babies, and they are. And they are. They are for babies. The gifts of the Spirit will flow through any Christian that will yield to Him, has been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've had lots of gifts operate through my life. You say, well, where are they? They're still available. However, He's trying to take us to a place where our faith has increased, where we can receive, not just for our own home. We could drive the devil out of our house, but where we are available to drive the devil out of the next person's house, so that when they're stuck in the wheelchair, we know that we can operate with God, with the Holy Spirit, and bring them forth to full healing in their life, in their body. Now, Jesus, in Jesus' life, how many know everybody that came to Him to receive healing received? Everybody. Everybody that came. They came to hear and to be healed, many of them. And a lot of them brought people there. Amen. And we see that also. Excuse me. And. Porky Pig. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I don't know why I said that. But anyway. Whatever he says, that's all, folks. You know, anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, well, I lost it now. Praise the Lord. No, I haven't. We've got it. Praise God. But we want to develop to these places, to where it is not just the gift of the Spirit, although we want that to come in operation. Amen. We want to be yielded. We want Him. Lord, I'm available. How many are available? How many believe that He could use you? Look at your hands. Look at them. Those aren't just natural hands. These are supernatural hands. The Holy Spirit dwells in those hands right there. That's right, Hannah. Look at them. That's right. She's looking close. She's getting up there. Oh, man, I got a little. No. Anyway, not looking for defects. We're believing that there's healing power in our hands. So when someone says, do you have an aspirin? No, but I have healing power in my hands. Would you like me to pray for you? Amen. Why? Because we gain confidence because we know Him. Because we spend the time with Him. Because we're beginning to drive out everything that's not like Him out of our life. Why? So that He can flow freely through us. Through a place of peace, through a place of joy, when we are confident in who we serve. Paul said, I am persuaded that He is able. I am persuaded that He's able. Now, He said to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. But how many are persuaded that God is able? How many know that Sarah and Abraham, Romans 4, they became what? Fully persuaded. And sometimes, how many know we get persuaded to a certain point? Do you believe that praying in tongues will help you? I do believe it. But, and sometimes we compare ourselves with what happened to someone else instead of taking God's word and say, no, this is what's happening to me. God's word says that it's edifying me. God's word said I'm praying His perfect will. God's word said that I'll be conformed to the image of Christ. God's word said that I can be changed. God's word said that the Holy Spirit will help me and begin to teach me and to lead me and to guide me into all truth. I can have His plan for my life. I can find His plan. The Holy Spirit will guide me. And many times we talk, and we should talk about Jesus, but we also need to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I don't apologize. I've had some people talk to me. My own family's talked to me. And they began to question me, or not, well, kind of question. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. We would turn to a verse and share that verse. And they said something. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. Well, you just believe that because of some preacher. No, I said, this is what the Bible says. Amen. How many know the Bible is the Word of God? It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide asunder between soul and your spirit, and between the joints and marrow of our body, amen, and is a discerner of the intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. It says in Proverbs 4 that it is life, right? Proverbs 4:20, 22, that the Word of God is life to those that find them. And it is what? Health to all our flesh. The Word of God itself becomes life to us. It can become health to our very being, our even our body. Hallelujah. That's powerful. See, well, what makes you so sure? Well, I got the Holy Ghost in me. He begins to reveal truth to me. And even though I may see it with my eye, it becomes more and more real as I pray in the Holy Ghost. You see, you can have the Word of God, but if the Word of God is old to you, then it's not real to you. Oh, well, I've been knowing that, Pastor Doug. I know I need to pray in tongues. I've been believing that. I know it'll help me. But see, it does nothing unless we really choose to make a decision to do it. And the more time we spend praying in tongues, the stronger our spirit's going to be. I'm going to be the first. I'm not perfect. Well, Pastor Doug, you ever fallen out of prayer? Yeah, I have. Stop praying for a little bit and then realize, what is wrong with me? What's the matter with you, boy? Why aren't you praying? I have to tell myself. I have to take that inventory. It's been 2 weeks, and you've hardly prayed at all. And weren't you going to spend that extra time in prayer? Yes, I was. Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9, right? And get back with it. Bring ourselves back around, and don't quit, and don't stop. And I still, and you said, well, did you mean it? Yes, I meant it. I meant it the first time, and I still mean it. I have decided this is my life. My life consists of prayer. My life consists of praying in other tongues, of reading the Word of God, of worshiping Him and knowing Him, and walking in His power. He said, well, I haven't seen you do very much yet. No, maybe not. But that's not my choice, and that's not my decision. That's going to be coming forth more and more. Amen. It will. I've seen some things happen. I've seen some things fall off people. I watched, you know, they stood there and a guy came up, had all this, looked like measles, but it was something else. It was like a rash all over his legs. I would say less than 30 seconds, it disappeared off his body. And it even shocked him. But guess what? God begins to work in people's heart. See, the miracle doesn't make people believe. Miracles doesn't make anybody believe. But miracles gets people's attention, where they would at least listen to you and maybe listen to God. And many times, God starts dealing with their heart, you know. How many know it's the goodness of God that brings a person to repentance, the Bible says. It is His kindness and His goodness that draweth a man to repentance. If you're in a place and you're walking with God, you know, I mean, the goal of the blind school is not for them to stay blind. That's not God's perfect plan. It's great. I'm glad they're helping them. I'm glad they're learning Braille and they're able to live life. But that's not the end of it, is it? Is that where they're supposed to stay? Is that what God said? Is that what Jesus wants? Is that His desire? But does He have any men and women of God that have allowed themselves to grow up enough to walk with Him, to have the character of God and the love of God and the life of God, to be able to display His power? You see, we have to be to a place where we're also not destroyed by His power. I remember Pastor Dave sharing, he went to Mexico. Power of God started showing up. First night it was great. Second night the power of God starts showing up. And they had to usher him out of there because people were rushing the stage. Third night, nothing happened. He said, Lord, what's going on? You know, well, I just need you to enter into my love. Oh, that'll be good. I'll pray for 6 months and I know God's love will be on me and that's the way it'll be. And there'll be signs and wonders all the time. See, self-seeking, self-exaltation, looking that men would see what? Me. And I'm telling you, it's very, no real man of God. I remember, men of God, you know, the past, people start putting their faith. See, if it's in a man, then there's a problem. We've got to teach people. No, God will heal you. God will touch you. That's what we're believing for the glory of God, where men are healed and touched. I mean, it's not about who laid their hand on them. It's not about who prayed for them or if anybody prayed for them. I believe they can come into the presence of God. We can have praise and worship and people be getting healed left and right. People will come on the premises, be healed. Why not? You know, why wouldn't we want to bring them in, right? Somebody comes in a wheelchair. Did you come to be healed? Yes. We'll have 2 or 3 people out there. Well, just a minute, you know, and you move those little things over, right? The little feet rests. What are you doing? I'm getting ready for you to rise. Right now, yes. God's power is ready. It's here already, and we bring him in. Amen. We leave them wheelchairs out there in the parking lot. Wouldn't that be something? People driving by. What happened? You know, they came and reported the news. There were 10 people that came for a miracle today of healing. There's 10 wheelchairs out in the parking lot. Hallelujah. And they come in. And what's our church about? We worship you, Jesus. We thank you. They've got a testimony of the King. We're not going somewhere that's fake. This is real and available. Did you never read about Peter? Remember when Peter was walking? And they just brought people and they begin to lay him on the sidewalks, the sides of the street, what? That his shadow might touch them. The fame of Peter began to be spread just like it was of Jesus. I guarantee you, you get 1 or 2 people, you get somebody raised from the dead, your fame's going to be spread. They're going to be asking you to come pray for their baby. They're going to be coming to ask you to pray for their husband or wife. I'm not saying that we, you know, I believe there'll come a day when the hospitals may be empty. That's absolutely possible, but it's got to be under the direction of God. It's a whole lot better if somebody invites you, amen, hallelujah. I've been invited by the family member. Oh, wonderful, come right in, Mr. Zinstra. Come right in, Brother Joseph, yes. You've been invited by the family. Matter of fact, they take you there because they need God's power and God's love. You see, I know that people don't realize, but I believe this. There's going to be a difference between those that believe and those that are just saved. Mm-hmm. See, we can be a believer. I saw this in my spirit. I saw this vision. And people were running around and they were asking people, are you a believer? Are you a believer? And what they meant, do you possess the faith and the power of God in you to bring about this miracle for my loved one because I need you. See, God had a plan for the earth long time ago. He said, hey, Jesus said, I've got to go. Why? So that I can send the Holy Spirit to help you, to mature you, that you'll be a son of God in the earth so that I can multiply myself and you'll be like me in my image. Conformed to the image of Christ. Transformed by the power of God, by the word of God, by the truth of God, and by the faith of God flowing from in you. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, what? On your most holy faith. praying in the Holy Ghost. It's going to bring a change in you. It is impossible. It is impossible that if we'll pray the perfect prayer, that we will not be changed. That will not begin to change. It may look small at first. It may be a little here. It may be a little there. But it will take place and you will change more and more into the image of Christ. There'll be what? More love in your life. More joy. There's going to be more of the peace of God. You know, a lot of things to help, you know, is being at peace. Even doctors know that. You know, they know that worry and fear and all that brings health problems. Sometimes it's even been said, well, what's wrong with them? Well, we can't really find anything wrong with them, but they sure are nervous and worried. Guess what's, you know, and sometimes it does bring on physical problems. The Bible says, you know, like if we have unforgiveness in our heart, bitterness, it can bring rottenness to the bones. Can you imagine? Well, I just don't understand why my bones hurt all the time. And I'm not saying that's the case in every case. But there, you know, you could have bitterness in you. Have I got any bitterness in me, Lord? Am I bitter towards someone? Am I unforgiving? See, those are things the Holy Spirit begins to deal with. He'll talk to you about, amen? Anybody ever talk to you? Amen. He'll bring you to that place and share with us the things of Jesus and who He is so that we are what? Transformed. Conformed into the very image of Jesus. We're not just praying a little gibberish out here somewhere. No, it is a supernatural, God-sent prayer that we begin to pray, giving Him the authority to bring about God's perfect will for our life. Amen. And to push out things that are not of Him. You know, we may start out maybe at the beginning. Maybe you say, well, I have a little self-exaltation in my life. I want to be seen. I want God to use me, which you should. But we can have it with the wrong attitude, right? You know, if it's all about me, you know, or partly about me and partly about Him, well, I'm not quite done yet. I need to keep praying. I need to come to that place where I'm willing. I lay down my life, Father. I'm willing. I said, Lord, You will be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the truth of it, Lord. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's the one that can pray the perfect mind of God through our life. And that, Father, if we'll spend time with Him, we know that You'll continue to conform us and begin to bring us to the same image as Jesus, Lord. You said in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Father, You change us. You transform us. You mold us into the very image that You want us to be. And Lord, that is Your grace working in us. That is the grace of God empowering us. That is the help that You have promised us, Lord. Oh, we thank You for it, Lord. And we, tonight, Lord, we just thank You for grace again to enter into the prayer closet, to enter into times with You, Holy Spirit, to let You be our helper, to let You be our guide, to let You be the one that will pray out the very mind of God for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.